Meeting to order. The 2019 Public Works Facilities Budget Hearings. And we hope that for those of you that are here to be informed, that is very informative. And any questions that you may have will be answered. We're going to follow a pretty straight format. We're going to go through the budget division by division. We're going to send a recommendation and any changes to the Finance Committee. And we'll begin. So, any supervisors have any comments before I move to citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments will be open. All that we ask is that you give your name and address and try to limit yourself to 5 minutes if you could. So, anyone for citizens' comments? Yes, sir. Right at the mic there, sorry.
Clear for residents and visitors. We hear many times how much nicer the roads are as soon as they cross the border in Kenosha County. We don't have special salt or equipment, but we do have special workers here at Kenosha County that are willing to work 16 straight hours to keep the roads safe. We will never know how many accidents our hard work has prevented. This year, the Highway Department has lost 8 workers to other jobs. One of the main reasons employees leave is higher wages, more competitive wages, at other municipalities or companies for similar jobs at work. I came here tonight to thank you for considering the pay grade change for the highway workers, and we hope that you will approve the 2020 budget before you that includes this increase. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to address the committee on any items, citizens' comments?
Good evening. My name is Ali Nelson. I'm the director for Veteran Services in Kenosha County, and I'm also a citizen that lives at 7225 150th Avenue, and that's in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'm here today in reference to KD Park, 234 acres, to include 39 acres of lake. Will be a living spirit of the Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park to pay tribute to those who have worn the uniform that symbolized freedom around the world and those who are still serving on active duty. This park will honor our veterans and their family. As a military veteran for 28 years of active service in the Navy, I spent half a day at the park and had the privilege of walking around that park, and I could have probably stayed longer than half a day. It was such a peaceful and serene feeling. I know then and I know now that park is going to be a special place for our veterans. A perfect setting for veterans and their families and friends to experience this wonderful park. Our veterans will call this park their own in the heartland of America. There's so much more to offer at the park and our veterans, and I can envision a place of healing, and we have that every day, where you find veterans who are struggling and need a place to get a peace of mind. It could be a veterans retreat, a high point of rest and relaxation, and education. Through your committee tonight's support, to have an opportunity to do something special for our veterans by approving this park, they earned it. Freedom is not free, and we owe it to our veterans to approve and pass the naming of Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park for our veterans, our children, and grandchildren, and future generations to come. To learn more about our military history and heritage, I most strongly support naming Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, and I thank you for your support.
807 8th Place. I was the Racine County Veteran Service Officer, so I was on lease counterpart up there. And being from Kenosha and retiring back here in Kenosha after 25 years in the Air Force, I was excited to learn that the park was going to be stood up in Kenosha County. Racine has Pritchard Park, and I don't know if any of you had the opportunity to visit it, but it's a beautiful place. And Kenosha deserves and should absolutely push forward for this park. So I thank you for your time, and Ali's a wonderful asset to the community and should be also commended here as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Phil Allen. I reside at 9021 263rd Avenue in Salem. I'm the state and hospital director for the VFW Department of Wisconsin. I also serve as chief of staff for District 1 here for the VFW and junior vice for the our post 7301 Pleasant Prairie. I represent a lot of veterans in this community, and I've talked to a lot of them since I found out about this project, and you'd be surprised how many is in favor of this. You think it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal. Also, I've talked to other people in the community that are not veterans, and they think that the veterans deserve to have a tribute like this. If you've ever been up to Neillsville, Wisconsin, I got the high ground up there. I have a hunting cabin about 14 miles away, so I go over there at least once, twice, maybe three times a year. It's serene over there. I mean, it's just, what a tribute to the veterans. There's always a lot of them over there that you go and you talk to your fellow veterans. That's how we get some closure, because we get to meet other veterans in these areas. And it helps us to realize that, you know, we're all in the same position. I came back from Vietnam 1968, and we weren't very well liked. Things have changed now, and we're being more recognized. And a veterans park like this would benefit a lot of us, because we're mostly, right now, it's mostly Korean and Vietnam vets left, besides Desert Storm in Iraq and those wars. So I would recommend that you pass this so we can build this park and help our veterans in this community have some closure and some serene time to go out there and visit. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
My name is Bill Erickson. I live at 420 57th Street, number 311. I'm here on behalf of the naming of the Veterans Memorial Park. We live in a dangerous world. We need a strong military. We need to honor the people that have served our military. If there has to be a world power, it should be us, rather than in any other country that might want to assume that role. And so on behalf of the naming of the Veterans Memorial Park, and to honor veterans past, present, and future, those who have given their lives, paid the ultimate sacrifice, and those who suffer from physical and psychological injury from serving their country, I ask you to support naming of that park. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Dale Kirkman, 331 264th Avenue in Brighton. And I'm strongly urging you to support this park out there. I'm like a lot of people out here in the county. We don't get past east of I-94, much less downtown Kenosha. So this would, and I'm one of them, I'll have to admit that. So I urge you to give us a nice place out there for the veterans and ministers to it. Visit out here in the county. Thank you much.
Thank you. Any other citizens like to address the committee before we commence with our numbers for the evening? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We will move on, and Mr. Kupfer is, I believe, going to take the lead here, explain the process, and
okay,
get us done. Get us done by halftime.
Thanks everybody for coming. I don't think I need a mic, but if you can't hear me, let me know. What I have up here is pages out of a handout. If anybody wants one of these, doesn't have it, I'll be happy to give you one because I have some extras. Or just come up here and grab one. The way we usually do this is we have several different departments, and we go through and we talk department by department, their operating budget, their capital budget, and then vote and approve that chunk of the budget. So we'll have, I don't know, maybe a half dozen different votes by the time we're done. And before we get into the gory details of each department, I just want to kind of give you the framework of the public works department as a part of the whole. So up here, this is page one of the handout. And I don't know if you can read this, but you ought to be able to read what you got in front of you. The overall expenses of our division, or of our department, is these are the operating expenses. In the last year's budget was $21,102. This year it goes up to $21,497. We have a little less than a 2% increase in our total budget for operating expenses. That's the left-hand side. Or on the right-hand side, there's some columns that show the revenue, and then there's columns that show the levy. Our levy income is forecasted to be 2.65% increase from 2019 to the 2020 budget, going from about 8.2 up to 8.4 million, about a $200,000 increase. The other revenues that we have are about 13 million. It was about $200,000 less in 2019 than 2020. That's a little over a 1% increase in other revenue. And in total, our operating expenses are funded, it's about 61% by other revenue and about 39% by levy. In total, the I don't know if you can see it at the bottom of your first page. Over on the right-hand side, the total general purpose levy for the whole county for 2020 is $68,921,000. That's up about $1,988,000 over the prior year, or about 2.97%. That's what's in your budget book. The percent of the levy that is DPW is 12.3%. So we're 12% of the total county's levy budget. Now, the other thing I wanted to say, out of our operating expenses, about 61% of what we spend is in personnel. And 18% is in what we call contracted services, which is utilities and various maintenance contracts we have, or other purchase services for people, for things like consultants. So that's 19% of our spending. Then another 19% of our spending is supplies, and about 1% is fixed expenses, things like insurance and other things that don't relatively change from year to year. And out of our levy increase of 200 some thousand, about half of it, a little less than half, is in changes in salaries due to market adjustments in the area of payroll. And the other changes to the levy and everything else is about another percent.
Any questions for Jim at this point from the committee? Yes, John.
Yeah, thank you. Jim, you said 61% personnel, 19% supplies. What was the other one?
Contracted services.
That was another 19%?
Yeah, that's another 19%.
Mark?
Yeah. Jim, under other revenues, what are the other revenue streams? What are the, what's other specifically, I mean, generally, but you know, what are the different ways those revenues are brought in?
Can we, if we get into each department, we'll talk about each one, or I can give you a blast.
A general statement, that's all.
Okay.
Borrowing, is it?
No, it's, there's no borrowing here. Not, and this is just operating expenses. It's grants, it's money from the state or federal for highways.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be as simple as working for one of the townships.
Yeah, right.
Highways do a lot of work. Yeah, okay, that's what Dennis is talking about. So if you flip to page 2. That's our headcount page. The headcount for our department is about 125 people. In 2019, it was 125.25. And the reason we have a 0.25 is because we had a person for a fourth of the year. It was a person in the Planning and Development Department. He retired. He was there for a while, and then he left. So in 2020, we really have the same headcount in all of the departments, full-time headcount, except we have a 0.8 in highway. That's because we're going to hire one extra person, and we're going to hire them after a few months into the year. So our with the increase, we'll talk a little bit about it when we get to highway, but with the increase in the number of lane miles, we're going to need one or two extra people over the next few years in order to be able to provide the services to take care of these extra lane miles. And we'll start by hiring a person at the end of the first quarter next year. But other than that, our headcount is basically flat from year to year.
Dave?
Jim, I have a question on golf. Where the seasonal and the temporary people go? Who don't have baby?
The way we've always prior forecasted the full-time equivalents for the seasonal people in golf or parks is we have nobody's full-time. They're all part-time. So we know about how many hours it takes to do the job. So you could have 20 people each working 20 hours, or you could have 10 people working 40 hours. So the full-time equivalents really didn't mean that much. So we've always taken the hours times the average rate of pay. The dollars are still there, but they've taken the headcount out of any of the numbers for either 19 or 20. Questions on headcount? We'll go to page 3. This is the UW extension budget. From 2019 to 2020, the total expenses for UW extension are going up from $205,000 to $207,600. The largest increase is in the other professional services. The total budget is about $184,000. This department has no employees. We pay the state of Wisconsin for, I don't want to call it rent the people, but they provide all the services for UW Extension for the county. Now this budget, we reviewed it with the PDEC committee the other night. They approved it. So I don't know if there's any questions here. You can just see what went up and down a little bit. There's a little bit of extra money in staff development. And there, for this division, there really is no revenue.
Question.
Yes.
We did make some changes on that budget. Does this reflect those changes that we?
You did not make changes on UW Extension. You made them on the planning and development.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry.
So we will get there.
Yeah.
And there's no capital here either.
So any questions on the UW extension? Mark, your committee approved this at Planning and Development.
Yes, we did.
You heard it?
Yeah.
deck, whatever it's called now. So, do I have a motion to recommend this budget to finance and from this committee?
So moved.
Good move by Supervisor Uhas, seconded by Supervisor. Oh, you got a question?
No, I'll second.
Okay.
That's
fine.
So, I thought you had a question. That's what I was going to say.
Franco. Any other discussion? If not, on the motion to refer as presented to Finance Committee, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Okay, page 5 is the Planning and Development Department. Supervisor Nordigan, this is one of those pages that you guys had a question about. Planning and Development Department has 5 people.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah.
Page 4 is this one? Or?
Oh, I'm sorry. Page 4, there's 2 extra departments that are associated with UW Extension that have no levy. The top part of page 4 is what they call our office account. It covers the various programs that they do that we charge people for. And we budget the revenue to be equal to the operating expenses. And they're not allowed to spend more than they make. So we budget at a zero, and typically there's a little bit of a surplus every year. That's the top part of that. And the bottom part is the after-school project, where the UW Extension will provide services for school kids, and then we will build back the school system for the services that UW Extension provides, and there's no levy there either. I'm sorry, I forgot about this page.
Well, that's fine. Any questions on that page? I think we'll, since it's not a binding matter, I think we'll count the last vote that we have for recommendation on this, and you can move on to page 5.
Okay, page 5 is the P&D department. As I said, 5 employees. All the other formats for all the various other divisions that we'll cover will sort of be like this. And the top part, I'm good, is the expenses part. And then, yeah. And then the revenues are right below it, and then there's a net. So any the expenses for the Planning Development Department are going up from $807,000 to $871,000 from 2019 to 2020, as are the revenues. There'll be, within each of these components, personnel, contracted services, suppliers, and or fixed. There's notes at the bottom. Salaries are changing just due to market adjustments. There's no new people, but there's a 0.25% decrease in headcount because Dan Treloar, our water expert, retired. All of our medical insurance, we budget at the individual level, whatever their individual coverage choice may be, and that goes for the whole, all of our budgets. Other professional services is increasing from 2019 to 2020 by $40,000. We put into the budget this $40,000 to check out pre-purchase investigation analysis of tax-deeded properties. And then sewer pack services is a separate account. There's a small increase from the service provider. On the revenue side, our state aid for land conservation is flat. We're expecting a small increase in our permits and fees. And then we have a revenue account. It's kind of a misnomer what it is. In prior years, the only revenue that's been in this account is from Summers. For 2020, we're adding another municipality. The P&D folks will provide services to Salem. So that budget will go from revenue of $50,000 up to revenue of $100,000. So in total here, the levy is changing $7,000. And this is the one account or a department where a recommendation was made to change that $40,000 increase from $30,000 to $70,000. That's what's in the budget. And a recommendation was made by the PDAC committee to change the $70,000 to $50,000. So there would only be an increase to cover these pre-investigative services for these properties. Cut that budget for that item in half.
So was the reasoning there that they didn't think the permit fees and things were going to be increasing? That was under revenues that they cut it.
The reason they wanted to cut it is they thought that $40,000 was too much to spend on investigating these tax-deeded properties before we acquire them. That was the reason.
Yeah. From what I remember on that, it was any property that the county was going to take over, there was going to be an investigation if there was like a phase one or phase two environmental. Yeah. And the thought was, you know, we had 30 years.
It was $11,975.
Yeah, we spent like $12,000 so far now out of the $30,000. And we had a we had $30,000. We thought going to $70,000 more than doubling it was not really needed, and if we needed to come back in because we required so many more pieces of property than we thought and what we wanted to do, then we could come back and get more. So we go from $70,000 budget to $50,000. So it's a $20,000 increase from the original $30,000 in 2019. Do I have that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Jim?
One thing you guys did point out was that in prior years we had, well, in 2018 we had a $30,000 budget. I think we spent 11 or 12. So it looks like we underspent the budget. So based on what they asked, I went back into 2017 and 2016. Yeah, another reason or another thing we do with this account, and I didn't remember it that night, was we use this in case there's any floodplain expenses that are associated with purchasing these that are not capitalizable, like not necessarily buying a building, but doing something to it. And in 2017, we spent $87,000 in that budget. And in 2016, we spent $111,000 in that budget. We just didn't have any of those kind of expenses in 2018. That's why I'm sure we had that budget set kind of high at 30 and never spent it. So if we don't spend that money, it just goes back to the general fund. So that's another reason why they recommended dropping that budget, because we hadn't spent in 18 what we had budgeted for 19.
So the recommendation, just so this committee can understand it, the recommendation to raise it initially came from who?
The P&D department.
Right. So Andy, do you feel safe with this new number?
I think overall we wanted what we requested just because of the fact that the $30,000 has always been there for the contracted services that we may or may not ever know for an upcoming year.
Right.
And then we calculated about what we would need for doing the environmental analysis on tax delinquent property, not knowing how many we would have. So, I mean, we calculated that out to be an addition of 40, so that would be 7. We'll work with whatever we're given, but I mean, that's our analysis, that's what that gave us. I don't know if there's other ways to work the account from a standpoint of funding it fully, and then whatever's not spent the previous year, we're just rolling that over and then refund it back to the same account, if that's something that might be more palatable, but again, you know, with our committee reviewing it, they felt they wanted to reduce it, and again, we'll work with whatever we were given.
Go ahead, Mark.
I think, Jim, you had mentioned that in a certain account numbers, if they give a 5 out, 5.2, 5.4, or whatever, that those are kind of numbers that just do this anyway. Don't have a lot here, you can go get more from the other side that you had more of. I think what we were trying to do was if we keep taking money and throwing it back into the general fund after it's not being used every year, we keep building more reserves that we're not using. Some would call it slush, but you know, we're pretty committed. If you know, Andy's going to need more money and he's run out of it, we're okay with saying, hey, if you need it, go get it. But what we're not okay with is saying, hey, we have all this extra, well, we'll just throw it back in the general fund this year, we'll throw it back next year, we'll throw it back next year. And it just kind of inflates the, in my opinion, inflates the budget unneededly, especially since we do have a very high reserve. And if it's something that we need to come back and get it, and old Supervisor Skolinski said the same thing, we have no problem. You need it, go get it. But for us, without knowing what we're going to have out there, to bring that budget up from $30,000 to $70,000 is more excessive.
Just so we know that, Supervisor, when you say if you need it, go get it, where do you suggest they go get it?
Wherever we can go. Like Jim said, there's other areas that, that
well, you have can access take well money it, in all the 5,200 accounts, and there's a bunch of them. What you're saying is you're sort of assuming that there is going to be money left over there, because we're just, we try to budget everything exactly how it's going to be. We don't plan to have some money in some extra account to transfer in case somebody comes on short. It doesn't work like that at all.
But yet we put money in reserves every year, correct? I mean, the reserves keep building and building and building and building. They go from 17 to 25 to 31 to plus 31%, correct? That means that money's coming from somewhere.
I don't think it's necessarily a lot of it's coming from here.
It doesn't matter a lot, but a little from here, a little from there. You know, a billion here, a billion there starts happening. Just that was the thought behind it. Just saying.
Okay.
I got to say this. For everything that's under, there's something that's over. Maybe not to the tune of everything, but and the reserves go up for a lot of reasons. Not necessarily for sure. This. There's a lot of other revenue accounts that can account for that.
But,
okay, that's all I'm going to say.
So, okay.
If I understand this correct, this money is used for property that would take the tax deeded properties. Now, when those properties are sold, the cost incurred to do this work or whatever you want to call it, is that refunded to this account or where does the money go then?
I think the clerk hands up with that money.
Or the
it's not public works.
So it will go to the treasurer's office and property, correct?
It's not public works. I don't know if it goes to the treasury.
Okay. Wouldn't it be more appropriate if this money will come to the department that is going to receive the money once the tax deed is completed, you know, the property sold? So maybe that's
it's one pocket or the other. The reason it's here is because these aims administering the people who are going to be doing the work. So the expense is here in this department.
But then the money, another department is going to get the money.
Yeah, so their budget should go down because their revenue should be going up.
But it doesn't show. I tried to look at the other departments too. It doesn't show their revenue. You know, it doesn't show the expense, but I don't believe it shows the revenue margin.
Yeah, I can tell maybe that. So basically, with the new tax delinquent process that's been developed over the last year and a half, is the expenses that are incurred in all the different departments, which planning development could have some,
right.
Lane information could have some. Park Council could have some. If those expenses are now being tracked and being forwarded to the clerk's office at the end of the process, so she'll know what the expenses were put into that particular property, and then that'll help with being able to go to the finance committee and ask for a value to sell that property in order to make up for all those expenses. In the past, no one knew how much expenses were incurred on the property. Now we will know that, and you're right that our expenses are in our budget. We will get the revenue.
No, I understand that part. We're going to recoup the expenses somehow.
Okay. Somewhere else.
My question was, where is it going? It should go to the same department that is affording or putting up the money up front to do the work needed to receive that. Okay. So that was it. Okay. Thank you.
So any other questions on? Are we done with this one, Jim?
I am, yes.
Okay. Dan thinks it should go to golf, but... Any other discussion on the planning and development as amended by the committee.
There's one other thing. If y'all could flip to page 14 real quick. The top four small divisions there, Board of Adjustment, Tree Planting, Tree Development, and Land and Water Management, are also part of Planning and Development. Now, Tree Planting, Tree Development, Land and Water Management, those are all levied at zero. If we incur any expenses, we charge them back to the developer. Or if we tend to make a little bit of money selling trees every year. But the top one, Board of Adjustment, there are some expenses there, and there's $8,000 worth of levy. And from 2019 to 2020, I guess there's less people on the Board of Adjustment than there used to be. So there's used to be five, and now there's three. So they had recommended that we trim down those numbers by approximately 40% to account for those less people, so we'd be paying them less per diem, less mileage and travel. And the legal fees and the revenue tend to cancel each other out, because if we have to spend any money on legal fees, we just bill that back. So it's really just the salaries and the travel, which that was another one of their recommendations. Take the $20,000 out of the other page and take approximately $3,000 out of this page. Now I'm done.
Okay. Any further discussion on this portion? If not, could I have a motion to recommend sending this on to finance?
I move the budget amended by committee.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Stawinski. Motion by Supervisor Dorgan. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, Jim?
Okay. There was nothing else that came out of that committee, right? Just those two items?
I think that's it.
Wow. Okay. Okay, the next department is golf. Is that page six?
Yep.
Page six. Okay, the golf department is a non-levy department. They have to, whatever they spend, they have to cover with revenue. And I know the committee had asked, I think it was Supervisor Stawinski had asked for a comparative financial statement for golf. I sent it to you. It was the last page of what I sent out Friday afternoon. And it just compared the 2019 budget to the 2020 budget. And then it had the actuals for 18, 17, and 16. And I realize everybody in the room doesn't have this, but I don't know if you want me to pass it up to everybody, or if not. Supervisors Nordigan and Stalitsky had a whole bunch of questions about the budget, which we answered. And, so I don't know if you want to bring any of those individual questions up again about golf.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me get on 2020. Expenses $605,000, and we have reserves of $528,000. I said last year I'm not really in favor of a public golf course funded by the county borrowing money, because they have to compete against the other golf courses, privately owned and open to the public. If they borrow money, they have to pay it back out of their budgets. Golf does not. So to say it's levy neutral, I think, is not quite correct, because the county pays that. This year, I think $605,000, whatever it's been in the past, too. And I think it's been quite a few million dollars that the county is still paying, obviously. So my question is can you not do so much on this current year and back off of some of the things and use some of your reserves in order to pay for those, so you don't have to borrow? Now, the reason I also bring that up is I heard wonderful things about the golf course. Dreyer, wonderful job. Looks was great, but it was common, had a great golf course. And it's not like it's like, well, without these problems or losing golfers and all. Quite the contrary. So can we take a breather and not have to borrow that $605,000 and use some of the reserves and just take smaller chunks at a time? That's my question.
I just want to clarify one thing. You said other departments that spend capital money have to pay it back?
No, I said the county pays back anything that's borrowed, the CIP. The county pays that back. The golf course doesn't pay what they borrow back.
Okay.
None of the individual departments are the county departments. Which means if we go out and borrow from LGT, goes out and sells it, you know, we're on the hook for it. Not necessarily golf or highways or parks. It's the county that does it. So it's coming out of the county.
You're correct.
That was my question. All you know, there are smaller chunks that can be taken in the next couple of years so you don't have to go and borrow.
But he's asking. Of the $528,000 that's shown in reserves for 2019, that's not an accurate figure based on what's been spent out of their machines. I think you've got that information.
The 2019 budget, I don't think that's what he's asking. I think after we spend the 2019, we pull the money out of reserves. There's, according to my calculations, less than $100,000 left in reserves.
Why are you pulling money out of reserves?
That's how we budgeted 2019. We're paying for $528,000 worth of capital out of reserves. And after we do that in 2019, there's not enough left in there to pay for all of this $605,000 for 2020. So if we're going to make these capital expenditures, we can't pull it out of reserves. There won't be enough left over at the end of the year plus this year's profit to pay for next year's capital. Is that what you're asking, Ray? Or
that's what I thought you were asking.
What capital that has to be paid for in 2019 would you have?
Well, the 2019 budget had a bunch of capital that we budgeted. There was a little bit of bonding, but most of it was coming out of reserves. I think it was $528,000. We can't do that again in 2020 because the money, there's not that much in reserves left. 2020 to pay for $605,000 worth of capital.
So, Mark, they did what you are suggesting in 2019, or for 2020, they did it in 2019. In other words,
right. That's what I was going to say. That's Daniel's question.
No, that's what I wanted to say. We took the big breaks back in 19. You know, that's where we took everything out of reserves and we put it all into the big capital funding for 19, and now.
Well, wasn't there some
I don't have the book in front of me, but whatever was budgeted in 19, if it was a total of 700 some thousand of capital,
yeah, 730,000.
It sounds like
budget,
then 500.
Carried over 214,000 from last year to this year.
So 500, it sounds like 500 some thousand of reserves within golf was used to fund that 700 plus thousand dollars
right.
of capital. So that brought those reserves down to what Jim's saying right now, there's about 100.
I think there's about 100,000.
100,000 okay. left in reserves.
Jim, you had mentioned that carryover, because I got off still.
Well, carryover is just unspent money that was bonded or
so
in the prior year.
So unspent money from 2018 was 214,000 that carried over. This, I'm getting at, there is extra money, but you're saying there's only going to be 100,000 after whatever is going on.
Yeah, the reserve number that I'm talking about is after you've subtracted out the carryovers, because that's already planned for something. And then it's also net of anything that we would be spending this year. So there, a carryover is just, here's you have the money this year, and if you haven't spent it and you still have the project, it goes to the next year.
If
a lot of the questions that
time.
You asked in that memo were right. all about the same thing. What's this carryover money that's designated for a project, but it's just not completed, so we have to take it to the next year.
It wouldn't have shown in the original adopted budget, that carryover, because you didn't know something was going to be completed this year? Or from last year that started
yes.
to get completed this year?
That's exactly what it is. 18
and 19 mixed up, so 19, 20 now, so. Yeah, okay. But you didn't know that you were going to have it. You didn't know that if you were going to need it in 2019.
When we did the budget for 2019, we don't necessarily know what we're not going to finish up.
Okay. So the money's sitting there waiting to be used on
right.
a project that hasn't been completed
correct.
Yet, and you don't know whether that project will be completed in that year, the following year, the following year, the following year.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now this budget's been done for a couple of months. And that means you still have August, September, October, November,
yeah.
December to finish your work. Okay,
so Jim, I believe you're saying that at the end of the year we're going to have a little bit of $100,000 left over.
Yeah, that's our estimate right now.
Estimated, give or take, 100, a little bit over or whatever?
Yes.
Okay, so let's call it for a second. So if we had to cut $100,000 from the 605, still be okay to pay with the reserves. If you put $100,000 worth of 605 reserves, it's still not even cutting anything on it.
Well, we're only going to have, my estimate is $100,000 at the end of this year, period.
Okay.
To pay this 605.
Okay, so we don't
have
to borrow 605. We only got to borrow 505 to break
well,
it.
Well, if it's that exact.
Okay,
yeah.
If that, yeah, I'm just. With the numbers given. So if we just lower the cattle by 100,000, you're still going to have enough money to purchase or everything that we have in the cattle and still be okay with that. Even if we don't cut anything from the cattle.
We need $605,000 next year to pay for this. All we're going to have at the beginning of the year is 100,000.
Okay, so that's all we need, another 505.
505.
So basically we can cut the funding to 505 and have enough money to pay for everything. Because if we need 605.
If you did that, you could zero out the reserves, but those reserves are there, you know, fortunately the past 10 years now, our operating expenses have exceeded, or revenues have exceeded expenses. So we've added to those reserves, but that's not to say that's always going to happen. So it's like any other thing else. If you take everything out of the reserves and zero that out and use it all for capital, then if we do have a shortfall on the operating side, the only place that can be made up with is levy. So it makes more sense to keep some money in reserves to cover if it never makes sense to take the reserves down to zero, because there's nothing there to cover if we do have an anomaly. We have a really horrible spring and a horrible fall, and we end up with 2 foot of water. Oh, wait, we had that this year. That's what I'm saying. We have to have some money in reserve.
So
we can't empty it out.
Then maybe what we could do, possibly, is cut from the capital improvements, instead of 605 or 400, whatever, and if there is enough money, but the golf course is doing good, we'll come back later on and say that we can purchase. I'm not really sure what's in there. So instead of purchasing 20 golf carts, I don't recall how many I said we'll
right.
purchase 10 golf carts.
And that's kind of what.
So we'll buy that then, and if there is enough money left over, then we can go out and maybe in a budget modification and spend the money later on. So we'll be forward. Because, you know, it's a tough year. We're going to have to come somewhere. That's my feeling.
So that's what the county's.
Supervisor,
that's what the county's done in the past, and that's the reason that the highway department is now.
We're talking about golf.
Understand.
We'll wait for
the point I want to make is that's why the highway department's equipment is in such bad shape, because they did exactly that. We never fully funded what we needed to do to keep equipment and replace it on a timely schedule, so that we didn't get ourselves in a trick bag of now all the stuff needs to be replaced. What Dan's done over the years is developed working with finance, a fairly sophisticated way to routinely replace key pieces of equipment in a way that we never then have to spend a huge amount of money because we're constantly renewing a certain amount of equipment. If we pull that out and say, oh, we're not doing it this year, all that does is kick the can down the road, and then we end up with a bigger problem down the road, which is what we're actually dealing with in highways. We don't want to do that. That's a regressive approach, and it's not going to get us to a good place. It looks good in the short term. It looks really bad in the long term. It costs a lot more money. So that's my suggestion, is that we don't start to look at it that way.
Also, we're saying that the Gulf is going to support itself. It's lake free.
From an operation standpoint, that's a true statement, which wasn't true 10 years ago.
It's not really true because we're bonding the money. So it's like somebody, well, I'm not spending my money, but I'm spending somebody else's money. So it's not really true.
Gulf is significantly more sustainable now than it was 10 years ago.
Oh, I agree. I was at the board. So I'm not disagreeing.
We're working towards
that. That's one of the reasons that I'm saying maybe we can work like doing just a little bit. I'm not saying to cut everything, but to do some. Just to work towards the budget for this year.
And that's why last year we took out 500 some thousand out of the reserves to fund the lion's share of the capital needed for golf. Yeah. So that's why we've done that in the past.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Since it's been indicated about $100,000 to the reserve, I'm going to make a motion to reduce the golf CIP to $505,000 so that the reserve can be used to cover all the things that they had in their 5-year CIP.
We have a second.
I'll second.
The intent of my motion is that rather than having the reserve continually not be spent or roll over into the general fund, it's being applied to golf course operations. Fortunately, Mr. Trier was able to budget for these items that he has listed on his list for the 2020 budget. And so we shouldn't necessarily be penalized for that. On the other hand, when we have reserves, we should be using them for the self-sustaining operation of golf operations. That's the intent. Thank you.
Okay. Mark?
Also, look back at the 2019 project of capital outlay. There was nothing proposed for 2020 or 2021 for the golf course improvements. And also, that's brought forward $150,000 in 2020 for golf course improvements. So, I don't know why something that's out another 2 years and also brought forward. So,
well, anything that's in the future is just an estimate. It doesn't really mean anything. It can, things can move around.
Right.
And you can have a priority change. Well, geez, I didn't think I needed that furnace in 3 years. I got to get it now because it crapped out. So it's that kind of, as you get closer to the actual end of it, things become apparent that you need to do in the next year. And you're going to finance throughout the whole budget.
And I heard all year how the bad rate was and everything. We got caught up. And everyone's talking about how great that course looks and how it is. So the golf course improvements, I'm not quite sure, are needed. And I think, Ray, it was the needs that we want and not the wants. You brought it up yourself. So I agree with you.
So I want to talk specific because this is a need. The 150 grand that we're talking about is strictly drainage related issues so that we can keep the course open and generating revenues after some of the rains that we've had. That's what the drainage is on hole number 16. That's what the point of that capital improvement is. It's strictly to deal with drainage issues on the course to improve the playability and availability of to play after the rains that we've had. That's pretty much that's what we've been focused on.
Lori?
What would be the revenue losses without this 100,000?
I don't know that we can pinpoint that, but I think Dan can generally maybe speak to.
Yeah, there was revenue losses even this year because of, it was cracked back only so much, and we were walking only for a couple times because that the drainage just isn't handling the amount of rain that we've been getting. I mean, even recently, as this weekend, we were walking, and because of all the heavy rains that we've had, and with this type of infrastructure improvements, that's when we're going to be able to stay open. And you won't believe the amount of hangups or as soon as people call us, the car path only, you have to pull them, you know, and they're not even coming to our golf courses because of that. You know, and so.
So the drainage was in the master plan?
Yes, it is. Yep. Yep. And one of the big things that was carried over from 19 or 18 to 19 was the bumper project that we did on the lake. It was shut down. We started it September 12th, and it was such a rainy fall, we couldn't finish that project until almost Memorial Day this year. You know, so that was one of the big things that was carried over from 19 or 18 to 19 because we needed that funding in 19 to finish that project.
So drainage wasn't project one of the master plan?
That bumper at Hope.
We pulled it out. The master plan, if you look at those big numbers out a ways yet, those are still things that need to be done as part of the master plan. We've been cherry picking and trying to take those components of that master plan. They're going to get us the biggest bang for the buck. That's what this 150 grand is. We looked at that master plan, what's remaining on it, pulled out the things that are going to give us the biggest bang, the low hanging fruit. That's what we're trying to do. It's the smallest.
And the bus,
well, we got bunker. The bunker is the same thing. The bunkers are all drainage.
That's
so
what it is, all about.
Everything's been done to optimize what we can get out of the dollars that we're spending out there.
Okay.
So we have a motion on the floor by Supervisor Whiskey to remove
motion of
100,000. And keep the budget the same, but take that $100,000 out of the reserve. So any discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor of removing the 100,000.
Roll call.
Roll call. Call for it. All those in favor of removing taking that money out of reserves. Different governments?
Aye.
Okay. So, roll call. Supervisor Gessie.
I vote against it.
Nay.
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 Yay.
Nay.
Yes.
Motion fails. So, Jim?
Okay, page 8, Parks Department.
Oh, hold on.
Wait, we got to do that. That was just on the motion.
I know I said.
I thought you were asking me.
No, I know I said yes, quick. But
what was the final vote on that? I'm sorry.
5-2.
5-2.
5-2. Okay.
The, on the golf budget as presented. Any other questions on that or any further discussion?
I have a question. That was one of Mr. Buffer's responses.
Mike, are you talking?
I'm sorry.
That?
Jim, we asked you on average wage increases for 2020, and you responded wage increases are 3% of the pay grade midpoint until the employee reaches maximum position pay scale, and then at 2020 budget also includes a 2% pay grade and 2-point market adjustment. Is that for all departments? Is that answer for all departments?
Is that a response from me?
That was your response.
Yes.
Under page 110, from our questions about.
Some probably information came from HR.
Okay, I'm going to explain everybody how this works, and if it is for everybody. If I'm average Joe, okay, and I make 45 grand a year, and I am in a pay grade that is 40, the 40 is the low point, 50 is the middle point, 60 is the high point. So my salary right now is between 40 and 50. I'm within the range. What's going to happen for all pay grades on 1-1 of next year is all those pay grades are going to be jumped up about 2%. So average Joe's midpoint is going to go from 50 to 51.5, something like that. Okay, so it comes time for Joe's annual review. He doesn't get that raise at the beginning of the year. Now maybe if he's below the range or above the range, something happens, but that's a different story. he's going to get 3% of the new midpoint as his raise. So he'll go from whatever 3% of 51.6 is, that's going to be his raise, assuming he gets a favorable review. And then on top of it, he's going to get another 2%. That's everybody.
That's just...
So if you're red circled, and you're sitting on top, and you're above the range, you're going to get 2%. Because you can't get anything else because you're already out of the range. But average Joe is going to get his normal raise of 3% plus another 2% bonus. That applies to everybody, maybe not the deputies, I'm not sure about the union.
It doesn't apply to deputies.
Okay.
Lord?
So I just want to make sure, so is there a disparity while we're doing this? Is because there's a disparity between the entry point and people that have maxed out at the top? We haven't made that adjustment in at midpoint?
The 3% midpoint has always been how people got their increases. But the wage scales, the way they were set, and I'm not an expert on this, but I do know that 5 years ago, they went and did a whole market study on every single job. HR did it, finance did it. They talked to all kinds of different companies, and they reset all the scales. So now, in what I call the real world, you go through every few years, and you bump up all those wage scales because stuff has changed.
And so they don't max out at the midpoint?
That's what they did. Why they did it? Who decided it? I don't really know, but I got a very clear explanation from both the HR department and the finance department, so we could tell y'all how it actually works. That answer the question? I couldn't really put that in a... I tried to explain it here, but...
I wasn't exactly clear. Did the HR person here? What's our current attrition rate for... public works and facilities?
That's a personal. I don't know.
Idea. Because we have increased the base salaries after that study to all employees. I know we have. So it's on these buckets. So I don't understand. I have no problem with increasing 3%, but 5%, that is above what the private sector is paying. So I'm not sure, given the fact that the medical insurance is so outstanding, as well as the lifetime pension that all county employees get. So I'm making a motion to remove the 2% pay grade midpoint market adjustment from the 2020 budget.
Mike, who are you including in that?
Just right now, since we're talking about golf, we have to go through each one of these. It's not going to be across the board because I can't make that motion unless it's indicated to me that I can make that motion across all departments.
Did you do it for planning and development?
No, I missed that one. I did not. So, let me amend my motion. I will make this motion across all departments, including planning and development, to remove the 2% pay grade midpoint market adjustment as stated.
A second, because I'm going to ask some questions on before I vote. Can I ask some questions?
I've got somebody else in mind.
I want everybody to be clear about what Supervisor Shlitzky is saying. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
He's totally 100% right on what he's saying. You're going to get a base 2%. For all employees. Now the red circled employees are not going to matter because they're at the top. They would get the 2 across the board. He is 100% correct in saying that the majority of our employees are going to get a 5% increase. So I want everybody to understand that. And what was explained to me is actuarially we want to stay in between this 95 to 105% of earnings. Be competitive. We've dropped below that 95. That's what this supposedly is, 2% across the board. Okay, but I want to, like, you're 100% correct. We're talking 5% of most people. So I want the committee to understand that. It's not 2. So you guys have to decide, as Supervisor Kulinski said, are you okay with 3%? Because that's usually what everybody gets. and we'll get the numbers out on that, on how many people did not get this 3% merit increase. That's, I think, what we need to find out.
That's what
and I think you'll find out that it's everybody, other than a couple percent. You know what I mean? So understand what Supervisor Spitzky's 100% right on this. It's a 5% bump for most people in the county. So I just want everybody to be clear on that. And that's the reason it was given to me prior to these budgetary meetings by part of that.
So as this discussion develops here, I'm not going to take a stance either way, but I do want everyone to think about this. If Public Works is the only one involved in this motion and it passed, you would see a mass exodus in the other departments for Public Works. Anyone that could, you would see it. So I truthfully think that a motion like this is much better made at the Finance Committee on each budget than for employees of Public Works to hear that they are the only ones that this has happened to at this point. So I personally would much rather see a motion like that made en masse than singling out a division. So now I want to get that out.
So the couple questions I had then were, I think Chairman Esposito, what percentage of people are getting the full 3%? I mean, is it just automatic 3% for the gift, exception of a few? So then you've got the mandatory 2 plus now they're all getting 3, so you're at 5% or more. Or, you know, you said that 95 to 105% range, where are we sitting in that range now? If that's the goal, if that's a stated goal, or is it something that the board came up with, I don't know, in the past, as to where these you know, have to be, and to address Chairman Esposito, not Chairman Elderman. I think it has to be across the board. I think that you not make your amendment for across the board, or is that too late because we already...
No, he said across the board, but it would just include Public Works.
No, I think he wanted for everyone across the
board.
We can't do that.
That's why I'm questioning. Okay, thank you.
But word will certainly get around if we do. Yes?
I have a question. And Clement or Ray, can you answer this? How much money is spent on training a DPW worker before they are fully on their own on the road, hours training? How much money goes into one employee since we had 8 leave this year because our wages are behind the norm?
So, Clement, unless you've got an actual number, I've got...
I would go. Give you 1 to 5 years exact, but I will tell you that right now I'm training one of the engineers in our department, our division, and he's taking me already 3 years. And he's still getting in there. So it is extremely difficult to find it. And Public Works, for example, we lost about 8. And the bottom line was the salary basically. For example, we lost one to Waukesha. And he's making, I would say, 3% more.
No, $3 an hour.
$3 more.
$3 an hour.
That's what he started.
And we also learned that he's also canvassing for people to join him.
So, can I, before we get too spiraled out, my understanding is on the 22nd is when the personnel, all of the details of the personnel are going to be talked about at the HR budget, because we really don't know the details of what went into the study and what was done to make these recommendations. We just know that our budgets reflect those recommendations consistent with all the other budgets. The only thing that I can make the committee aware of is that the study, there was the Village of Union Grove did a study on public works employees specifically, patrol workers, truck drivers, this summer. And they sent something to me, so I said, hey, let's fill this out so he'll give us the results. He conducted that study. He got 18 municipalities in southeastern Wisconsin. We were the largest one. Mainly it was Wauwatosa, Mequonago, these little tiny burgs. And the results of that study, which I could definitely share with the committee, is that we were number 16. Our wages were 16 relative to all these other little tiny, literally 3,000 and 4,000 employee. I see the ads in the Burlington Standard Press or whatever it's called now, and I always give them to the HR department so they know what these little communities are paying, because they're paying more than ours. So the number of guys that we've got red circled in the highway department, that I know that they haven't gotten any increase of any kind for, I think it's going on 10 years, because they routinely point that out to us, and they accurately say that. So they haven't gotten anything. So that is a reality. They were the highest paid patrol workers in the state 10 years ago. They were. And rightfully so, those needed to come down to be adjusted. But what's happened is the market has exceeded with them. Because it's not just public works employees. The same people that do public works jobs are the same guys driving the trucks that are working on all the construction projects for the contractors and other projects that are going on in southeastern Wisconsin. So these guys are. The guy that took the job in Waukesha, did we ever consider Waukesha County a competitor to us? It wasn't even on our radar. This guy lived in the city of Kenosha. He was doing the commute up to Waukesha. Now, because he still keeps in touch with some of the guys, he's actually moving his whole family up there because he was able to do it and justify it based on the situation. So we really don't want to get in that kind of situation. Again, being proactive to some extent here, I think it's actually we're behind in this relative to the marketplace, and we do run the risk going into this winter that if some of these guys, we have some good guys. To Clement's point about how long it takes to train an engineer, to train a highway department worker to be really comfortable and really efficient behind the wheel driving one of those big rigs and not taking out mailboxes and guardrails on a regular basis, that's a multiple year process. And that's for anybody, even if they come to us with experience. So those guys are, when they are trained and skilled in what it is they do, they're valued. And to replace them, if it costs 80 grand, I saw the number, to replace a sheriff's deputy, I'm going to say it's probably 40 grand a pop then for us to replace highway guys when they were.
So we had 320,000 walk out this year.
That's one way to look at it.
And what is your insurance? Can you tell us what a family deductible is versus an individual?
Yeah.
No.
Karen's here. She could probably give you a little more insight into that. But
because I know that has changed throughout the years as well.
Right, yeah. I can't speak to how competitive our benefits are relative to other public works departments.
Because that's something we have to take into consideration as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can't speak to that.
Yeah. I just want to make a couple of comments. Again, I'm not taking one side or the other. I just want to comment is the person that moved to Waukesha, I believe you said, he got $3 more an hour. If we give them the 2% raise, it would probably be about 70 cents. That would not have stopped them.
Totally agree.
And go over there. So what are we going
to
do? We're going to say, well, then let's increase it to $3 an hour. Or if we find out that maybe XYZ County is paying $4 more, so we're going to go to the $4 more. Okay, that's just one comment. The other comment is that if the Department of Public Works passes this resolution with the 2% and nobody else, I don't think it would be fair if the other department will do the same thing. It should be all the same. But this would be amended in finance that if no other departments will do it, then maybe motion will be made at that point that the 2% will be reinstated. So if you guys want to take, when I say you guys in the committee, wants to take the initiative to do something on that, and nobody else will do it, well, it could always be brought back at a later date when it comes to finance or even at the county board.
Right, exactly. Any other discussion? If not, on the motion to... Mike, do you want to restate that motion? Do you want to remove the 3%?
No, all I wanted to remove was the
discussion? You can go, Brenda. Committee? You want to do a roll call?
Roll call.
Okay. Director Jeske?
Nay.
Chair votes nay.
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 Aye.
Nay.
Aye.
Motion fails. Okay, Jim? Parks?
So do we actually approve the whole golf budget then?
We didn't vote on it.
We didn't do it yet, no.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure if he had any more.
I got you.
Yeah. Nothing more on golf, correct?
No, sir.
All right, so if I could get a motion to send the golf proposed budget here to the Finance Committee.
Motion approved.
Supervisor Jeske.
Second.
Made the motion. Second by Supervisor Juhas. You the governor?
Aye.
Committee, you want to?
Roll call.
Roll call.
Aye. I'm sorry.
Aye. Approve it.
Oh, yeah.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
No.
So it carries as presented here to go to finance. Parks.
Parks Department, page 8. Okay. Total expenses for the Parks Department are going up $40,000, as is the revenue. And the total revenue increase is coming from levy. The payroll includes market adjustments and scheduled pay increases in the salaries. The seasonal pay hour rates have been increased slightly to match market conditions. Someone had asked what interdepartmental cross charges are. The Parks Department, the Highway Department, and the Golf Department all use the services of the Finance Department and HR. And there's a cross charge made based on headcount every year from those two departments to Golf, Highway, and Parks. And that amount actually went down a little bit, because the seasonal headcount was taken out of the headcount calculation for those three, for at least for Parks and Golf. Miscellaneous contractual services is based on historical activity. The building maintenance supplies account is based on, and we go through an individual analysis of the small equipment needs that they have. Staff development, we plan an increase in employee training. Special events, there'll be new events. And then for Kemper, we are limited to spending $100,000 on utility and general maintenance expenses. That budget is the same from 19 to 20. That's the operating side. Their levy increase for parks as a percentage is 1.97%. That's $40,000 going from 2028 to 2068. That's the operating side. Page 9 is Parks Capital. The total bonding needs for parks for 2020 is $821,000. There's several projects here that are funded by revenue, the study of the Pike River South Branch, flood mitigation, the same with the Pike River North Branch, flood mitigation funded by revenue. Katy Park improvements, that's just to finish up the project that they have. We'll get a $50,000 grant to finish that up. And then for parkland development, we're planning on spending $125,000 in the revenue. I think I made an omission from the budget explanation for the revenue. To $75,000 comes from waste management, $50,000 comes from Boundless Adventures.
So, questions?
I have
Mark? Yes.
Parks 2, I guess I was looking for a little bit more detail. It looks like there's some here on the replacement equipment on a regular basis. I know in the past we've shared stuff with like golf or other areas. Are there any other pieces of equipment that you need to share without having to go out and buy it that's reasonably to be used, you know, in time frame and all that?
So I'll touch base and then I'll let Matt fill in some of the details. But basically, if there's something specialized, so like we've talked about stumpers in the past and chippers, things that are kind of specialized pieces
those
of equipment,
those
will typically use in a pool type manner. So we've got, I think, three different size ones now of each of those types of equipment. And then depending on the job, they get used by whichever department needs them.
Okay.
It's really only the stuff that's used, I'm not going to say exclusively, but daily by the departments. Then that's the stuff that's budgeted in here. That's a fair way to describe it.
Just one more thing to add on. Part of that budget is for mowers exclusively. And typically how it happens with the mowers is we actually get hand-me-downs from golf. So it kind of works the reverse. So if it's good enough that instead of trading or auctioning, we usually get the stuff from the golf course so we can. We don't use real mowers or anything like that. So what has happened in the past is by the time it gets to us, we only get a couple of good years.
Right.
Good. So these are the only things that we truly do need, and it's basically the core things for our rotary mowers is to make sure that we have what we need.
Is there a list of specific equipment that you know of that you know for sure you're buying? Because I don't see a, mower, and some of these others I saw air compressor number 43 or air compressor number this or that. I didn't know if you had a specific list. I mean, that's kind of what I'd like to see. Hey, let's spend $100,000.
I think it was included on Jim's response, but there is two pieces of equipment that were on until 2025. 11-foot mower and then an out-front mower, which is a 72-inch deck. So those two things were needed for a 2025.
Oh, that's okay. Now, are those replacement for the same type of stuff, or?
That's the plan as of right now. We still have some mowing to be done.
I'm sorry, Jim, I didn't understand that. My mistake.
But that's the problem, yes.
Okay. On Parks 4, you have replaced four-wheel drive and a new pickup truck. You see that in a couple other locations. You're getting a great deal unless you're not putting the same stuff on it. You're looking for $35,000 and the other two areas are $45,000.
We do get a great deal. And this answers another question.
Yeah, the other two are $15,000 higher than $15,000.
We buy all this stuff off of a national bid. So we can, if somebody in Tucson, Arizona bid and got a truck for $35,000 from Ford, whatever, we can piggyback on that and get that same price. And these companies that sell these things, the government gets like a rock bottom price. Dan, what did we pay for your new car?
But that's not what I'm asking.
It was asked in it as
well. No, but what I'm asking is how come his is $35,000, another car is $45,000, and in that same facility says a $45,000 and a $60,000. Are they equipped differently?
Oh, yeah.
They
could be.
All I heard and saw was heavy duty four wheel drive. I don't know why one's $35, one's $45, and one's $60. My assumption is.
Yeah, some have snow plowing equipment, some might be a $150 or a $250. We don't put all that detail in there.
Well, just back to the question, I see three four-wheel pickup trucks and they're, three different, what's the, why?
Differential.
Facilities, generally, any facilities is going to be set up plowing.
Yeah.
And if you do see the parts pickups and I see models every day, they're not a flamboyant truck. They don't need that, and they also don't have the big club cabs and like the sheriff's department and things. So I also know they tell me what they paid for very nice big clubs, $35,000.
That's cheap.
Okay. Anything else on parks? Mike?
Well, what I noticed after going to the CUP is many things are budgeted. However, a number of things were not budgeted for 2020, and I don't see them as an emergency development. And so as a result, I'm wondering why a lot of things were pulled forward rather than allowing a five-year rotating CIP to play out. So as a result of that, I made the following motion to reduce the following CIPs by the amount stated. Playground equipment, which is number 25, from 130,000 to 60. Utility vehicles, which is on page 26, from 30 down to 20, which it originally was. For floodplain property, from 50 to 0. Again, these are things that were not budgeted or pulled into 2020, and I don't know. Number 28, Katie Park improvements from 200,000 to 0. Parkland project design costs from 196 to 0. Building improvements at the Kemper Center at number 39 from 130,000 to the original $39,000. So, if I can summarize, my motion is to reduce CIP from the parks, page 25, playground equipment, page 26, utility vehicles, page 27, floodplain property to 0, page 28, Katie Park improvements to 0, page 29, park projects design cost to 0. And page 30, building improvements from 130 to 39,000. And those are all the original projected 2020 CIP amounts. The rest can remain as is.
Great.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to say to that kind of a motion, all of the items that are in the budget have very specific detailed either projects or equipment that are associated with them that weren't necessarily foreseen last year. Not all of them. Some of them aren't accurate. To be honest, we don't really, going out the years going forward, for the most part, those are placeholder numbers. There isn't a real science to what the next year's number is. And I think if you go back 10 years or more, you'll see that. Typically what's showing, unless it's a very specific project, like I'm going to say Highway S, where it's a project where we're doing this year, we're doing this year, most of these numbers that are put in these future things is there to give the board an idea of what expenses are going to be in the subsequent years, but they're not there in a scientific format that, yeah, this is this. Whereas each budget year, that science is applied, and there is science to every number that's in this budget that I know Matt can speak very specifically to, with the exception of the floodplain stuff, which I know Andy can speak to. So if we want to go through each one of these and go through that detail of what each of those line items is, we can do that because the guys are here and they have that type of information. But I just want to say that at a higher level, looking at what is in next year's budget in 21 and anticipating that that's going to be what we're going to ask for next year, no, those numbers are there to give you just a general idea of there are other things that are going to be coming down the pipe, but there's not a real scientific, basis for those things. They're there just to provide some insight that there's going to be other things needed. So that's, I just wanted to give you that overview of that, and then if you want either Andy or Matt to address the specifics, we can do that.
I would second on the motion as to where this was in.
Other things.
Any further discussion or motions to be made on the parks budget?
Motion to approve parks budget as presented.
Second.
And with Supervisor Gaskin. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
We'll do a roll call in the committee.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
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 Nay.
Okay. We'll move on.
Okay, page 10. This is the Highway Department. Okay, Highway Department. The levy for the Highway Department is going from 1,840,000 up to 1,959,000, increase of 119,000 or 6.4%. It's over half of the increase in our total levy request for next year. The salary amounts there, and I'm just going to back up for a minute. I don't know if maybe Ray wants to join in on this. We've been telling people for many years there's a historical levy comparison there of where the levy went down and down and down and down. And it kind of bottomed out in 2018. In 2014, it was 2.2 million. By 2018, it had gone down to 1.7 million. And it went up a little bit this year. And it's going up a little bit next year. We were cutting expenses mainly in the salary area for many years. And that kind of curve has caught up with us, and it's going the other way. So the salary accounts that we do have here, there are these market adjustments and the annual step increases built in, and we do have another, almost a full person in there. And the average cost I believe it's around $80,000 by the time you take their salary and their benefits. And we have an increase in overhead based on historical experience. The same thing with vacation pay. And the medical insurance is going up, but it's based on the personnel choices, because we really don't have, we actually budget at what people actually pick for their choice of medical coverage. Miscellaneous contractual services is going down a little bit. We had a small decrease in gravel crushing. Fuel, there's a slight decrease. I think our 2019 budget might be a little bit on the high side, so we knocked that down, I think, $10,000 to better reflect what our historical spending has been. And construction materials, we'll have an expense going up, but usually we charge the materials that we have to buy in there that we will end up billing back to customers. On the revenue side, our sundry billings will be up. That's the work we do for township or municipalities, and that's based on our budget this last year, and this year is a little low. We can have increased business there. And our state billing will be slightly down. Our forecast for this year was a little bit high. Next year is, I believe, to be more accurate. And as Ray stated before, we are catching up on our equipment purchases. I think every county in the state has been is behind in their county. For a while, our average age of our equipment was going down and down and down. Last year, we did a real detailed study. And for the last couple years, it's been picking back up. For the five-year period, not including the last two or three years, we were averaging in the equipment, it's the $700,000 to $800,000 range for equipment replacement. To really get caught back up, we should be spending $1.5 million. And that's what the budget has been for the last couple years, including the equipment purchases for 2020. So I think you guys are doing a good job of having some foresight and jacking up those purchases a little bit to increase or really decrease the average age of the equipment we have out there. So I think we've turned a corner and we're catching up. But we need to continue to spend that $1.5 million, otherwise we will fall back down behind and our equipment will age. So it's been good the last couple years, and I think our budget for this next year on equipment on the next page is $1.4 million, $1.5 million. So page 10 is the operations. Page 11. Oh, next year is $1,335,000. On page 11, the top part is the highway equipment purchases, and the bottom part is the highway projects. Highway equipment, $1,003,000, I think it's okay to keep us from falling further behind. Highway projects, that $10 million is, I don't know if it's the highest year we've ever had, but I think last year might have been a little bit higher. But that's a lot. That's the total bonding for the county is recommended this year to be about 23 million. And out of that, 10 million is in highway projects alone. Highway construction projects alone. So I don't know if anybody has any questions. I'm just going to wait for you to ask.
Now, last year I know that we budgeted for some triax and dump trucks. I don't remember if it was two or three. I thought it was three. Two. Okay. And yet it doesn't look like we bought any. So what happened there? Where did that money get repurposed?
They're still in order.
It takes 1 year later?
Yeah. Sometimes longer.
There's a 6 to 9 month lead time on those trucks because of so much activity that's taken place and so many guys are buying those particular kinds of trucks. So yeah, it's a 6 to 9 month lead time for those.
If you don't order them in January,
you're not getting them that year.
A good chance you won't get it till the next year.
Now, the comment would be, Jim, that we can spend $1.25 to $1.5 million for the case equipment, and then we'll be caught up. But I see projected, okay, 1.3, one, just a little over 1.7, 1.1, 1.4. It appears to catch up at any particular time.
Next, 2021 will be a challenge because we're going to, at this point, predicting $12 million in spending on roads. But there is not enough money. We'll have to take a small decrease in equipment or change something else in the 2021 budget, which is basically just for information purposes only. We could easily use those pieces of equipment and move them forward from 22 to 23. We actually had to move them back a little bit in order to be able to hit the total bonding budget.
And we've been experiencing any equipment breakdowns that have disabled us from serving based on what we currently have right now.
What's the average age of our, do you remember, Jim, when you did that analysis? Is it 15 years?
Something like that.
It's about 15 years is the average age of the main plow trucks. And I believe it's come down slightly because of the last couple of years of investment.
The state recommended is 10 to 12 years. You're supposed to depreciate those things over. And our equipment's 15 years.
Fully depreciated.
Is there room? Just say
just to give you perspective, one of the trucks that we're replacing is 3 months or
something. Is there a reason that we waited as long as we did?
Because of the way we are replacing the trucks. We don't have enough money to replace them at the time. So we have to replace them based on the fund that we have.
So we asked, because I remember being asked in the past. For,
well,
I agree, 20 months. You got your money's worth that. That's what I guess that's the question.
Yeah, it's expensive keeping them.
I understand.
It's expensive keeping them, I guess. Okay,
any other questions? Yes.
Where? Is this a typo? You sent me over, Jim, the information, but I still don't understand it. In 2019, we're replacing two air compressors, number 23 and number 40. The IC, we're replacing in 2020 two air compressors, number 43 and number 40. It's the same one in both years. And we gave you $50,000 for it. Now, ask for another $50,000. I'm confused.
The two compressors.
Well, yeah. I understand that.
When you say sponge losses to you?
2019 is unit number 043, and you're saying 2020 unit number 043.
Yes, we actually have three compressors.
All number 43?
I must have put the wrong number on. We have three compressors. We replaced one this year, and then one next year.
Well,
if I put the wrong model on, I might put the wrong model on.
Unit number 43?
I'm sorry, what?
Three compressors, all number.
No, I said I think I must have put the wrong compressor number on there. We're not replacing the same piece of equipment.
It's confusing. We go and we gave you $50,000 for unit number 43, and then it says this year we need $50,000 for unit number 43.
That's the other unit number 43.
Yeah.
No, he put the wrong inventory number on there.
So what is it that we did last year, and is it number unit 40 this year?
I don't know what the unit numbers are. All I know is we have three compressors altogether. Okay, they're all from the 1990s.
I'm just wondering. I'm confused when I see the same information being charged for the same.
Well, I have to apologize for putting down the same unit number twice. They're different compressors.
Okay.
I even shot you a picture of it.
That says 185, so I was really confused. It's a simple Armenian, sir.
I saw the picture too.
One other question I had was did we get to the road stuff?
You could ask on the road.
The $3,027,970 high project one. I think your response was that, well, you know, those roads are coming out of the new NN, I think it was on there, but the question is, are these just roads? We're not looking at multi-use trails, bike paths, walking paths. These are just repairing roads, the 13 miles or so that you're looking at of Kenosha County roads.
So there are a couple other things in there, and that's a good question, I'll tell you here. I know there's $300,000 or $400,000 worth of culverts in there that we have to farm out. We can't do it ourselves.
Yeah. That's part of the roads. That's all making sure the roads. So
and there's no bike trails
right in
that number.
Okay.
And there's also, for some of our other roads, we're having problems with them getting too tall. So next year, some of the roads we have to repair, usually it's like $170,000, $175,000 to do a mile. Some of them are actually going to cost more than that because we're going to have to completely tear them down, knock them down, and rebuild it for the roads that we think we'll have to do next year.
Swinging 117th and then 334th Avenue by accident, doing
that. You got to talk to that guy over there.
Yeah. I'm coming.
You're done. Jim,
you said that $3,027,000, whatever. There is no money, it's just all for roads, nothing for bike trail.
Right.
Is there any money for bike trail anywhere in this budget?
No. Well, we have money set aside now that will be carried over, but
yeah,
it's not new money.
How much? Do you recall how much we
have?
There's Highway C, Highway E, there's a couple.
Yeah.
Oh,
Highway C, Highway E.
Just Highway E and Highway C.
Those are going through the
okay. And my other question is on Highway AY roundabout. We have $255,000 in 2020, and then $1.7 million in 2021, which I believe we get a grant or from the state is making money.
About 80-20.
Okay. Why is the 225 for 2020?
Because it's a design fee and a roundabout.
Correct. Typically, with this project, it takes about a year and a half to design and then construction 2 years.
Okay, so if we do this year, then in 2021, the 1.7, that's for the construction.
For the construction.
Yeah. And the 255 is just for the
design work.
And Highway S, the construction, we've got 6.835, and then the revenue, 802, is that part of the refund or the portion that the state is paying the 802?
No.
Phase one?
No, we should be getting that this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the phase one. We're going to get, I think, what, is it $4
million? Yeah, $4.5 million.
But that's, you got to spread out the revenue over those.
Spread out.
Yeah.
We'll get that back on phase one.
Which that will be in 2020.
Well, it's, yeah, the construction is phased over several years.
The purchase for the right-of-way for the properties there, everything has been completed now.
It's pretty close. We've got one property yet on phase one, and is there two properties owned by one property owner on phase two? The right-of-way costs, we're just going to start tallying those up. If anybody saw the article in the paper this morning for KR and the right-of-way costs associated with that for Racine County, you know, unfortunate for them, fortunate for us, the Racine County has a heavy lift on KR from a right-of-way standpoint, and they have substantial dollars they're going to have to go after. We appear good on our estimates for what we have for KR yet at this point. We always say so far because the stuff is going up. On Highway S, we're close, like I say, to finishing up both those projects, right-of-way purchases. There's no doubt that those right-of-way costs have gone up from what the original budget was, but we don't have all the numbers in yet to tally that. But we know S has been affected more than KR, I should say.
Okay, so speaking of KR, that was my next question. I know Racine is having a lot of problems with that. Is that going to affect us with the problems that Racine is having?
At this point, our right-of-way acquisitions are in process. Negotiations are taking place. So far, the initial ones that have come in at about the estimates that the real estate appraisers, but they're still really high, but they're what they figured they were going to be. So at this point, our 3.3 we've got designated for, $3.3 million we've got designated for that, looks okay, but like Clement said, I agree 100% so far. We'll see how it all shakes out, but I don't think that we'll have anywhere near the scale. Even if we do have some issues, it won't be anywhere near the scale of what Racine's dealing with, because we didn't have any full takes. We didn't have to take anybody's property completely for that. Whereas they have, I believe, five that they've got full takes, and so they had a much heavier lift than us on KR.
If there are problems, it's not going to affect us.
Should not. Yeah, should not.
Anything else?
Yeah. I'm going to make a motion to remove the A and Y roundabout CIP from 255,000
to zero. Glenn. The challenge with that is that this is a federal funded project. You have a specific timeline at which you have to do things. And right now, it's the design. If you remove the money again, I'll not be able to do the design, and I'll be again. We have the potential of losing funds.
And although I do appreciate that, I can't understand why it's around AY. I just don't understand. The traffic volume at AY is not substantial. Why are we putting another roundabout?
Because the funding is coming from a common HISIP fund, that's highway HISIP fund, and that is related to the traffic safety rather than traffic volume. And it's directly related to the traffic crashes. So the crash rate there is extremely high, and so that is why it is being funded by the federal government.
At A and Y?
Yes.
It's the most dangerous intersection in the county. I just wanted to add to that a little bit, Clement. So he touched on it, that these are traffic safety funds. What was fascinating is it was the first time we applied for funds for that intersection, but given the crashes that have occurred there, the number of and severity of, we've applied for other intersections at people's requests, like for example, the intersection of H and K. We've applied four times. And been denied. We applied for this once, they looked at the data and they said, here's your cash, get it fixed now. It's literally that kind of an intersection. And a roundabout is the safest way to still maintain the through traffic travel in that location, because you've got one high volume road and one fairly low volume road. And when you put a roundabout, and that is actually a great application for it. It's just like the one on CNMV. Those are good applications. A lot of places the DOT has put roundabouts are complete misapplications. These are great applications because it will maintain the traffic flow, and if there is an accident, they tend to occur at angles. There's no 90-degree impact, so the severity of the crash is always, it's most often a fender bender. The severity drops way down, so it's a perfect application for a roundabout.
CNMV, we've had no fatalities after we had fatality after fatality. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the most dangerous intersection in the county.
I believe that's correct.
By statistics.
By statistics, yeah.
Lori?
I live there, so it is very, very dangerous. I've gotten almost in 2 accidents there. So it is very high volume. It's hard to get across the road 22nd, so it is very dangerous.
Fair enough, I'll withdraw the motion.
All right, anything else? So, did I get a motion to send this budget out of finance?
So moved.
Through Franco, second by Supervisor Morgan. Any further discussion? You and Bill Renz?
Aye.
Do we want to do a roll call? So, okay.
Aye.
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 Yay.
Aye.
Okay, we'll move on to facilities.
Sorry, I had a little technical problem here. I hit the wrong button. Somebody under 30, help me. Wait a minute.
Don't fool around.
I'm better than average. Thank you. Okay, facilities. Page 12. Okay, this budget we're talking about right here is a combination of three different departments. We have the Civic Center campus. We have the public safety building, which we take a chunk of and charge back part to joint services and part to the APD. And that's maybe a 50-50 where we absorb it and the rest gets charged back. That's the public safety building. And then the other third department is facilities expenses at the job center, where we have custodians, we have utilities, we have some repairs and maintenance, and we charge that budget 100% back to the customers of human services. So all those three departments are all rolled into this budget. We have two other little departments that we'll get to in it. We have a 911 call center department, and we also have Civic Center rentals. They're on the last page, so remind me to go to those before we get off this budget. So the salaries increase is just market adjustments and plain annual increases. The biggest increase is in overtime. I think we'll chat a little bit about that. Utilities, we have a small decrease based on historical data and the energy efficiency changes we've been making. Building equipment maintenance, we're forecasting an increase in anticipated repairs. Building space is up a little bit. We've got the FMB, which is now around for a full year. We've got the second floor of the TSB. And things are, equipment is aging. And the cross charge is the amount at the job center that we charge back to customers. That's going up a little bit because our spending is going up a little bit. On the revenue side, jail traffic income, we're decreasing that a little bit based on what our history is. Parking structure revenue, we're increasing a little bit because of that's what our history is. The safety building rental income, we went through a reevaluation of the floor space for joint services and the police department, and the expenses are up for the PSB. So that gets reflected in the amount that we cross-charge back to those two departments. And I sent everything off to the police department and to Tom Gensner. So they're insurance services, so they're aware of those numbers. The total levy increase in this department, they spent about $3.7 million. The levy increase is $38,000, which is, I think it's about 1%. No headcount changes here either. So that's the operating side of facilities. Page 13 is their capital projects. And here, again, you see the different chunks. The top part is, there's just one small category for the job center. And then the middle section is the civic center. And then this section here, and then here's the TSB changes here, and then we have a couple capital projects that are on the bottom. The total capital expenditures in the 2020 budget for facilities and capital projects is about $6.4
$1 billion to $900,000. Place the heat pumps in KCAB phase 2 through 4 was originally budgeted at $180,000, so back down to $180,000. PSB projects exterior joint sealants, originally budgeted for $180,000, so $180,000. And then the energy efficiency projects, we've been spending a lot of money on that year after year. We'll never recoup our money on that. So I'm proposing to take a breather on that and make that zero. Law enforcement enhancements was budgeted for $1.2 million. And so that would return to $1.2 million. So from the original $6.384 million, we would be reduced to $3.9 million. Thank you.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Move and seconded. Discussion? Great.
So if the committee desires, I think between myself, Frank, Mike, and Jim, we can go through each of the...
I think on this, we need to go item by item.
Okay. Let's start with the first one. I believe the first one was the remodel in the district attorney and juvenile intake area. So I can speak to that as well as Frank can maybe fill in some of the blanks. The first thing, because you had mentioned, Supervisor Skolitsky, that there had been some remodeling in the area recently, because I don't think we're aware of anything. Or you,
last 2 years.
What's that?
Not the last 2 years.
Yeah, so this would be... I think the committee is aware that the district attorneys are going to be getting one new district attorney, and also it's proposed in the 2020 budget for a victim witness position as well. Frank and I went through the DA's office actually last year because we looked at doing some stuff in the 19 budget. Bottom line is we put that off so we could take a longer look at it and really look at that space with a long-term view, what really makes sense. He's already got 10 pounds in a 5-pound sack in his space right now, so he's really working inefficiently in a lot of ways. So what we did is we worked closely with juvenile intake folks to determine what's the best way to go about things. We came up with a concept, worked really intimately with Mary Beyer, the director, as well as Mike Gravely, the DA, to come up with a concept that should cover them, you know, well, 10 years, I'm going to say, into the future without having to do any other remodeling. This $300,000 covers all of the costs associated with the design, engineering, and construction, best estimates that we've got at this point. So that's what that is for. Building space design at KCC. So you're correct. If we were just moving the Sheriff's Department into the vacated UW Extension space out here, we wouldn't really have to do anything significant to that space to make that functional for the Sheriff's Department's use. What happened is when the Joint Services Director got wind of things that we were considering that, he's like, you guys really got to take a look at the backup 911 center while you're doing this. We look at the backup 911 center, and it's, without being alarmist, I'm going to say, soup cans and string is maybe a little of a misnomer, but it's not far from what they've got in there right now. And it's the reason that when there is ever an event that they need to come out here and use the backup 911 center, which is about twice a year, it is always accompanied with the mobile command center from the Sheriff's Department, because we have to have a backup to our backup. So we're going to have the space to do things correctly there and create a robust backup center. Nothing over the top, but something that can really be used at a backup center where we don't have to have a backup to the backup center when they need to use that space. That $50,000 is not only for the design, it's all of the engineering associated with speccing out dispatch consoles and the infrastructure from an IT standpoint, as well as a radio communication standpoint to support all that. So that's what that $50,000 is for.
But to that point, is that a joint services expense?
Right, but we always front that money. The county always fronts that money, and then it goes through the formula so that we get reimbursed for that money, for that spend. So, yes, it's we front the money, we run the project, and then it goes through the formula.
Should there have been a revenue line on this, then, showing number?
Yeah, we haven't done that historically when we do a project for joint services. I don't think
unless the floor space changes. Because the IGA that we have with them is based on floor space.
So, and this probably will affect the floor space number. Yeah.
Well, if there's extra spending, that would get put into the total spend formula, and then charge back based on floor space. So if the total spend goes up, we have to be real careful how much we charge for.
I can say with total confidence, whatever spent dollar for joint services, there is a formula within that intergovernmental agreement that is used religiously that we recoup whatever spent for that in the formula that the allocation formula is defined in there. So, but that's what that's for. Let's see. Third floor K-cab, that's really just to finish the carpeting and some of the other, I'm going to say, finishes associated with the project on the third floor that go out and around the county boardroom. Building improvements, KCC, I believe, Mike, these are, I don't know what.
I provided detail of, if you add that one to the 209,000, okay. I probably could have put them together in the budget, but I know in the letter that I sent out, there was three washrooms in the courthouse, there was carpeting at KCC in the courthouse, there was doors at, a door at the pretrial center, five doors at courthouse and Molly. It's all on page three of what I sent you guys. The details out all the various little individual projects that add up to that.
The next one I think was a secure barrier for the lobby of KCDC. This is something I know the Sheriff's Department has lobbied, no pun intended, for a number of years. And this 5 years, and this year, I don't know if it's the new jail administrator that has said we really got to do this. I don't know if there's been incidents. I can't say anything about that. I just know that they want to create a secure point of entry in the detention center. So that was a request direct from the Sheriff's Department. Let's see, next one was building improvements. Jim already covered the $209,000. Ceremonial courtroom, what that $250,000 is for, is this year we have been able to accomplish the engineering and design so that we've, one, confirmed the feasibility to install HVAC above the roof line in, or above the ceiling in between the attic space. That can, in fact, happen, that there is a way to go about it, and the engineering documents have been developed that actually detail that. We've also taken inventory of all the damage that was done from the original installation, have it all documented, every anomaly that was created when they installed that stuff has been documented. We have all that information. The two pieces of information we don't have right now is that given some of the conditions that we discovered when we did the investigation, if we, what's going to blow up the cost for this project is the unknown. So if we put something out on the street for bids without having things really defined, and there's lots of unknowns in there, we've done a good job of inventorying things, but in terms of the processes, for example, the stained glass skylight that is in the center of the room is roughly 30 feet by 15 feet. They poured about 2 inches of concrete on top of that in order to hang some of the ductwork. To remove that and restore that, we want to be able to define the processes for that so that we can list those processes right in the bid documents. Folks will still be able, contractors will still be able to use their own means and methods, but we want to define those processes so we can take as much guesswork out of the bidding process as possible to make sure those bids come in as competitively as possible. And the last piece on this project is the quality standards. So whenever you've got something like this, which is historical in nature and highly aesthetic in nature, given the craftsmanship that created it in the first place, if you don't have defined quality standards, it's going to be, does it look good enough to you? Look good enough to you? And there's arguments about that. By defining the processes needed to restore some of the specific features up there and defining the quality standards that are the targets, again, it takes the guesswork out of it from a contractor standpoint. When the guesswork is removed, the bids come in competitive. So that's what the $250,000 is in there for. It's to do those things, the process definition and the quality standard definition.
So you've exhausted the $350,000 that we put in 2019 to date.
All the funds that were put in for 2019, I'm not going to say all of them are exhausted because we're not done with the project yet. Where are we at about, Frank, with it? Three quarters? So it's...
And to what I understand, this was supposed to be private funded.
So our goal is to raise as much non-county funding for this when we do the actual project as possible. And we do have a number of things that we're pursuing in that regard. We understand completely that to do this project, it's very unlikely it's ever going to be funded 100% with levy dollars. So we're pursuing that aggressively. This will allow us, again, to complete the package of all the engineering work needed for the project so we can pursue as aggressively as we can alternative funding sources as well. And believe me, we're not leaving any stone unturned. We're doing some pretty unconventional things to develop some private funding for it as well.
One thing, Ray, I want to add to that is when you're pursuing funding, you will never get the quality of people that you're looking for. They won't go into it blind. There's no way they will go into it blind. So we have to do this footwork. I know $250,000 and $350,000 is not footwork. But for the finished product, what the building can be, there's a specific type of grants, there's a specific type of associations that will fund portions of that. But they won't fund it if we say we think we're going to do it, we think it's going to be. They have to have specifics. So it's going to be up to the county board at the point. We're not talking a small project when this goes out and when you do bid documents. It's going to be immense and expensive. So it's not going to be something that anybody's going to be to slip by the county board in a budget here and say, no, we're doing it. It's going to take the full board's approval, and as it is for these documents that are going to be needed to even take one more step on this, right?
Okay. Next one, if I remember correctly, Civic Center Development. That $250,000, we've been putting money in that account on a regular basis for the last 5-6 years so that we can acquire properties when they become available in that Civic Center. I can tell you this, the properties that we've been able to acquire down there when they become available as opposed to when we need them and we need to pursue them following the legal process to do that, it's going to be one-third to one-half the cost when we can do it on it. If we have money sitting until that somebody comes, approaches us and says, hey, we were interested in selling, were you guys interested in buying? That process, to do it that way versus going through the formal jurisdictional offer process, it's a fraction of the cost. So to not have money available when those situations develop, we just had one this year where one attorney approached us and said, hey, I'm ready to retire. Would you guys be interested in the building? Yes, and we got it for arguably below market value. So we want to be able to do those things when we have the ability. That's what that money is there for.
I want to add to that one, too. We would not have been able to move our fleet maintenance successfully if we didn't have this money in that account to purchase the building that we did and revamp. That would have made the construction of the safety building much more expensive when we did the work on the second floor. It all had to fall into place, and if we had been able to make that move, it wouldn't have worked. We wouldn't have the parking lot for employees and for us when we come to our meetings and stuff if we didn't have this money. And we also would not have the money for the much needed tower that's going across on this campus if we hadn't had the foresight to fund this. This, out of any of these things that we've discussed on this motion, to me is the most important piece. Definitely we need to fund that or we'd be going backwards. We've made money on this, as Ray said. Dave?
I wasn't going to say anything on this. However, I got to respond to what Ray said, that we purchased the property way below market value. That is not true at all. Way overpaid. In fact, I was kind of against it, but it was after the fact. I made a comment at that point. I said, I'm going to go for it because we need the property. It's a good idea to do it. But we way overpaid for those properties. I had a discussion with the county executive that the only way I would support anything in the future if they change the way that they purchase those properties. I mean, it's going around that there is the joke of Kenosha there, that whatever they say that they wanted, the county would pay even more than what they wanted. That property was way, way overpaid. So it's a good program, I'm all for it, but they're going to have to change the process of when they purchase the property. Otherwise, I will be against it, even though I believe it's a good project, but it needs to be fixed.
Because it's almost halftime, I'm not going to respond.
It's fine.
I got time. It's fine. Moisture infiltration mitigation at KCJC at the Job Center. So we did a complete analysis of the campus there, the envelope of the building, the parking lots, and wanted to take a look at the whole structure. What prompted that was I had a meeting with John Jansen, and I noticed his windows were leaking. He had towels all over the windows. I go, John, what is that about? So we started to look into it, and the bottom line is all of the windows that were put in that building when it was restored or rehabbed 20 plus years ago were not designed to be used in an exterior fashion. It was kind of a classic government thing where they had windows left over from another project that were interior windows, and they could save big money by installing them in that project, which is what they did. Which the windows themselves are not the issue. It's the way they were installed and the nature of the framing on the windows, because it's not designed for exterior purposes. What's happened is the structure now around all those windows has been damaged. So there's severe damage to the structure. This money is just to stop the arterial bleeding, to stop the water infiltration. We drilled down. They originally said it was going to take $750,000. We got it down to $250,000 when Mike and I met with the engineering guys multiple times so that we could get it down to the very bare bones to do the minimum we need to secure that building and not have any more water infiltrate and do any further damage. The goal then is to take a look at that building and really make a decision long term, what is the best use, knowing where it's at in its life. It was originally constructed as a retail building in the 60s. It's way beyond its useful life. Does it make sense to restore it in a real way? Maybe. Maybe not. So we want to look at that this next year as well. Right now, this $250,000 will get us to secure and have no further damage from the water. So that's what that $250,000 is for. Let's see. Was HVAC replacement at the detention center? Yeah, this covers about two-thirds of the rooftop units on the detention center that are beyond useful life. This has been on our radar for replacement for about the last 3, 4, 5 years. And the roof as well. We wanted to bite the bullet and get the rooftop units taken care of, at least two-thirds of them. That would allow us to do then the roof underneath that as well. And the way we've got it broke up right now, we'd like to do two-thirds of the rooftop units next year and then a third the following year, if I remember right. So, okay. Was it heat pumps on there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so heat pumps, that is year, this is phase two of four projects. This is at KCAB. Right now we've got the basement and the third floor heat pumps.
Partial
third floor. So this would be what floor next, first floor next year. These are all beyond useful life as well and are really difficult to get at to repair. And I believe the parts are obsolete for these as well. So
Ray, if that was originally at 180, we went to 200. Is it because our bids came in?
Yeah, we revised the number upward because of the bids.
The bids have been up at 200.
Let's see. Next, same, I'm going to guess, with the exterior joint sealants at the PSB. Mike, that one got bumped up because we've got bids on similar projects. And energy efficiency, again, we could do an analysis on this. Every month we provide an update on the projects that we do that are energy efficiency projects. Some of which we have to do just because they're at the end of useful life and they need to be replaced. Others are done because it brings a lot to the table. Our energy costs, our utility costs have been dropping every year for like the last 5 years. And those utility costs are all paid with levy dollars. There's no other dollar used to pay those costs. So anything that we invest in our energy efficiency is a direct levy dollar that's saved.
Those are mostly lighting projects, and it's going to LEDs, and they all have a payback of a few years and a life of 10 years. So they're actually saving money.
And the last one, Jim, is that law enforcement enhancements, the bond, I think it has to do with the bonding, so I think it was 1.2 million or versus 1.95, 950.
I can just read Varna's explanation.
I just got a phone here.
Pete Dennis, I have a question. Ray or Mike can answer this. How old are these rooftop units that we're going to spend $1 million?
Original building.
1997, that building is? Mike, is that 97?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
22 years. Did that change? Did it change with the bonding or something?
Well, I know their question was, there's only one chunk of the project left to do, but yet we're bonding for the money. So what we did, we spent the money and borrowed it through other means other than bonding. So now we have to pay back those loans with bonded money.
What's the project?
There was a thing called an initial resolution a couple years ago to pay for the whole project.
So there was four components to that project.
Yeah, there was the public safety building, there was five, the shooting range, the sheriff's storage building, and this is the last phase.
Yeah,
so we spent the majority of the money except for the last part, but we haven't bonded for it. We have just borrowed the money or taken it out of cash flow. And now we actually have to borrow the money to pay that back on a long-term basis with bonded money. We do this. Well, we've done this with other projects.
At the October 7th Public Works and Facilities meeting, was stated $1.2 million is all that is required to complete this project. So why would we bond for $1.95 million? And how do we spend money that we don't have if we didn't bond for it?
You can borrow money from a bank or take it out of cash flow to pay for the project, but not bond for it. And that's what we did for this.
Sure. So I think we could do it for a lot of these things, huh?
Possibly, but sooner or later, you got to bond for it to pay it back, to pay yourself back.
Again, that's
$750,000
that we're asking to bond that was stated is not required. I got a problem with that.
Yeah, I know nothing's changed. The original number was like $12 million and change for the law enforcement initial resolution. That was passed 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and there was the projects that were in there were the PSB, which included the FMB, the Joint Services Shooting Range, the Detention Center Storage Building, and the Evidence Renovation, which is the last piece to be done. So the authorization to spend the $12 million was granted then, when that's why it was called an initial resolution. I don't know all the specifics from a finance standpoint, but I know that's the term that's used. That resolution authorized the expenditure of that $12 plus million for those four projects. And then we worked through all those projects. We're on the last one right now, is the evidence renovation. That's the last one. So these numbers here, I don't know. All I know is that nothing changed. We didn't go over budget. Everything's, right now we've got enough money, it appears, to do the evidence thing and finish the last piece of those four projects. And there hasn't been added any additional money. So. I can't speak to the 1.2 or the 1.
I specifically asked that question during our meeting on the 7th, and it was confirmed. 1.2 million to finish the evidence.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually 980,000.
Since already paid for, why would we go retroactively borrow for it? Does it make any sense if it's already completed?
We've already borrowed for it. The bonding is a different kind of borrowing. Right now, we borrow money because we had to take it out of cash flow. So we owe for that, but it's not, we didn't
pay
for it.
Why do we owe for it? It's the county's funds, right? I'm assuming it came out of general funds. Why would we borrow for something that's completed?
No.
It doesn't make any sense.
$12 million, what's...
I understand about the $12 million. But you said you already got it completed, it's paid for.
No,
No. It's two separate issues.
The evidence room is $1.2 million.
Two separate issues. The project costs of $12.1 million, of which the evidence renovation thing's going to cost $1.2 million. It's actually $980,000 to $1.3 million, I think, is the estimate. So we're estimating it's going to be $1.2 million. That is part of the $12 million. That's what was authorized to spend. Now, how it gets bonded, the funding that's generated, when it gets the timing of that, that's what this number is showing. That, so that doesn't have any correlation to this. This is, $12 million hasn't changed. There's no extra money being spent. $12 million is $12 million. How that $12 million is bonded, maybe there was $4 million here, $3 million here, $2 million, and this is showing $1.95.
It's, we haven't, they're still borrowing on right. the books, but it's not bonding. So we will bond for it and pay ourselves back for the other borrowing that we did. That borrowing is still there. It's not gone. We, you borrow money and you pay the
so
bill.
So you borrow money. Pay back, borrow the money.
Kind of.
Paying off.
Different rates. Short-term rates for borrowing are one. Financially, it's a good thing. We do it all the time for long-term projects. We do it for highway. We did it for the courthouse. We did
How long was this project? 4 years?
So I think we started 2 years ago, Frank?
Two years ago.
Well, so you'll end up being a four-year.
3 years ago.
It'll be a 3 to 4 year.
Today. So how can it be better for us now to borrow more money?
The amount doesn't change. $12 million. How it gets borrowed is somewhat irrelevant. It's as long as the number doesn't, the $12 million doesn't go up. We're not spending any more money. It's the $12 million that was authorized. That's what's being spent. Hopefully that makes sense.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor, and we had a second. We've just had an explanation, item by item here, down the line. Any further questions or discussion on this motion? If not, Youth and Governance?
Nay.
Well, no. We'll do a roll call for the committee.
Nay.
No.
Nay.
Nay.
Yes.
Nay.
Yes.
Motion fails. We will move on. Jim, do you have anything else on facilities?
Facilities. Yeah, the only other thing, if you look back again to page 14, there's one little item on the bottom. We own these buildings downtown that we rent. So in 2020, I think we'll have less rental income, but I also think we'll have less expenses because we don't have as many tenants as we used to. So we don't pay the utility bills that we have to. And I think we're planning to maybe tear some of these buildings down next year. So it's revenue, it's anti-levy, but we'll have less profit off of these buildings in 2020 than we did in 2019. So that's the last thing on the bottom. It's the Civic Center campus rental.
Anybody have any questions on that?
I think that is all I have for facilities.
So I would just need a motion on the, yes.
I just got two questions to clarify something. We'll go back on page 12. We have in there the salaries, it's market adjustments and things like annual leases. But if I look at budget program, page 97, we have salaries for 2019, $956,000 projected. And for 2020 proposed, it's $941,000, which actually is less than 2019, even though we have 2% increase in salary. The other question is for overtime.
Well, let him answer that.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have to look at the number.
Okay, that's on page 97.
Yeah, you go up this way.
Okay, I was looking at the original budget. The budget's 926, and there's a $15,000 increase.
Right.
For the 2020 budget.
Okay.
So that's what I was talking about, yeah. The increase in the budget.
But shouldn't that be based on the actual, because we're projecting 956, and if we don't, it actually should go off instead of down.
Yeah, I can't answer that question, why we would have projected 956 back in June. I don't know if that's correct. I don't think we'll spend that much.
The other one is that the overtime, which that would be next line, well, again, we'll go back to which was the budget. We're expecting 81,000, and we're proposing 81,000 in 2020, which is the same thing.
Yeah, we're trending a lot more overtime this year.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it.
But why are we not projecting more for 2020? That's what we expect.
I think we'll have about the same amount of overtime next year as we're going to have this year. Give or take. And it is way up from prior year.
One question. We should use pagers. We have $600 for pagers recently. We use pagers still?
They
actually still have that technology?
Cell phones are not on.
Just wondering.
Anything else? So now, I'll ask for a motion to send this on to finance.
So moved.
Supervisor Franco, second by Supervisor Geske. Any discussion? If not, youth and governance?
Aye.
Aye. Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Motion carries. And we have the, I think we've gone over the list of the miscellaneous pretty much. The miscellaneous department. So we've got another item. And go to my fancy laptop here to read. But we had discussed with myself, with the chairman of the county board, putting these three items on our agenda for this evening. The reason they were put on is that in the the budget, there is a, what's the term for this, what I'm talking about? Budget resolution.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of items. Sometimes there's 50 items, 80 items, and things that can get lost, and there's things that are pertinent to a committee, and I thought out of full disclosure to the committee, it's very simple. There's three items here, nothing controversial, that the Finance Committee is going to have in the budget resolution. So I thought if there was anybody want any discussion on it this evening, we could do it. And that list is, I have to do it in order here. Naming of the Kenosha County, you got it here. That's a whole lot easier.
Paper still wins.
My county laptop just doesn't work. The naming of the Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park. That is a park that we've actually owned for close to 20 years, 19 years of the property. Has been being developed over time. We've made leaps and bounds in the past 3 or 4 years with grants that we've received. And this would be the next step. Mr. Cruiser, when he came on board, or when he was first elected, went one direction as far as the environmental sustainability park, and we put up some signs and things. But the identity has never been finished. We haven't put a cap. We were talking about, you know, if Snap-on wants to come and give us $2 million, it'll be Snap-on Park. And I'm talking about conversations I had over the last 20 years. It could have been Frank Petretti Park. Anybody that wanted to help us develop. We've done it through very intelligent grant writing and through this Parkland Development Fund, which now is more limited than it used to be, but we used to have Pheasant Run putting $250,000 a year in, and it built up and we're able to do things. So the county executive called me, because I have worked on this for about 20 years, and wanted my opinion on what you heard this evening, the Veterans Memorial Park. I automatically thought it was a fantastic idea, and it was the last piece of the puzzle for something that we created. We created a peaceful, serene nature preserve, and I have people talk to me weekly and thank us for what we've done there, the hikers and the people that fish. And now we put in the handicap launch and swimming pier. So what this is, and this is going to be in the budget resolution, is taking $150,000 of the Parkland Development Fund, which is totally funded by Pheasant Run. And the story on that is Pheasant Run, when they made the agreement with us, said, fine, we will pay a tipping fee and we'll pay your percentage, but we get to choose where it goes, and Pheasant Run chose parks. So that's the history on that. So the $150,000 is to get this started. We would be giving our okay to the Finance Committee and to the County Executive as far as the naming of the park. And I think you heard some very to the point and sincere speakers this evening on that. And I've talked to some others too since this first came up. So money to be spent there, the county executive's idea is to set up a committee of veterans, of people from the community. And is that the football game?
Yeah.
And see what direction we will do. What we're talking about doing is,
sorry.
Yeah. Was there a score?
Don't say.
Last time I looked at it was when.
Don't say.
Okay, don't say. The direction that we'll go and begin to create a environment for this park. So that's what the $150,000 is. That's what would be in the budget resolution. It was Ray's idea, Chairman's idea, my idea, County Executive's idea, and it wasn't his idea, to be up front with this and say this would be coming from this committee, actually, or from what we oversee. So that's where that one is. Any discussion on, thoughts on that?
I think it's a great idea. I support it 100%.
Anything else?
Yeah. Are we on item number 6 right now? Correct?
Yeah.
Item 6?
Yeah, I don't know.
On the agenda, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So I had asked for these three items to be removed from tonight's agenda because I just didn't feel that they were of a nature that needed to be rushed through the process. And then when I looked back and saw the directive from the board chair, as well as supported by court counsel, that the regular order would be you would introduce these things into county board agenda, and then it would be assigned a committee for review. That's normal order. I support all three of these. I don't support the methodology that is being ramrodded into the budget resolution. They don't belong there. They should be able to be discussed at committee level and then passed on along through the board. So I still don't understand why they're on this agenda tonight. because they certainly do not follow the directive that was given by the chair. I don't see anywhere in here where it talks about $150,000 with these three items, but maybe they're tied in with some other explanation. I don't support them tonight, but I do support them in regular order. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So then, I went through that one. The acceptance of donated land for a new park. I'll give you the story on that one. Supervisor Decker, this land is in her district, and she approached Ray, the chairman, about this little sliver of land where people launch boats along the Fox River, north of Highway 50 on Highway W, making that an actual park. And the problem is the state owned the land. So through a whole lot of different channels, Ray got this worked out. The state is willing to donate this land to
us. We're working on that, yeah.
Yeah,
but it's
real close. Yeah. So that's what that is, and that would be acceptance of the donated land. There'd be no money involved. That sliver of land would become a county park, and that is where people launch canoes and kayaks on our water trail along the Fox River. That's what number two is. Number three is the Highway F project in Twin Lakes and Randall. Supervisor Nordegan and I and Ray have been working on this for a year and a half or so between the village of Twin Lakes and the town of Randall. This highway project is funded with federal money. Federal. So we actually, it's a DOT project. It's engineering has been done. It's going to go out to bid, and it's going to be constructed in 2020. Ray's approach to this was to bring Twin Lakes and Randall in on some of these discussions. And that is not something that is funded by this road project. That is something that the county just extended our hand and said, let's try to make this work best for Twin Lakes and Randall since we're doing this project. So this intergovernmental agreement is going to be between Twin Lakes, Randall, the county. It's going to be on changing jurisdiction of certain little side roads that are on this highway up. It's going to be changing, who owns what on this newly constructed road and the abandoned roadway. Who owns what, and we're dealing with some of the homeowners there. They're involved also. So this agreement is, it's nothing new to have intergovernment agreements, but this is something that we've really kind of, as I said, Ray extended his hand out a little further than normal on this, and we're trying to make it a very functional project for the village and the town, the landowners and the county.
And if I may, and maybe Ray was going to say this, and just to be clear on this last point, the IGA is not part of the budget agreement. This is really sort of conceptual. It's advising the county this is coming. The IGA, when it is finished, will be brought back before the appropriate committees for approval.
Right.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Ray, you said that the first three letters and then when you went out, the remaining ones were yet to come to. How are we progressing on those?
I've got eight drafts that Joe just hasn't had a chance to sit down with me and review. So those are all in process, and the IGA, as Joe stated already, this is just because we've talked about it in our committee. Obviously, Supervisor Nordegan and Supervisor Elman are aware of it, but we wanted to make the whole board that hey, something's going to be coming. So this kind of gives that heads up that hey, we've been working on this.
Sort of some letters went out to some of the.
Yeah, some of the MOUs went out. Yep. Yeah, I know. We got to get the rest of them out.
We have some tweaks that have to be finished.
That came up. This might not be the place for it, but did you notice if the well was located on where the future road is going to be going off Town Road, supposedly was put in.
that the well?
Yeah, there was a well that dropped in to feed the pond, just in case.
Right, it's on the north side, though, I think.
Well, they needing to locate it, you know, for your power, whatever we're doing, you know, to the road going and all that. So the thought was it was in the
road. It's not here, yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I can't remember what the other question was, but I'll know next month.
Because I think that we're. That well was part of the original constructor's idea to keep that pond filled, but it won't need to be filled that way now because the...
Oh, no, no. I'm just... If it's in the way, you need to know it because...
Yeah, yeah. It's right, it's on the north side. It's in the right-of-way, but it's not okay. In the construction path. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Dennis, I'd like to comment on Supervisor Schmidt's comments on this situation. Excuse me. I was called on my vacation. I didn't answer the call. I'm neutral in this situation. I talked with the Corporation Council and the chairman of this committee. If any supervisor wants to make a motion to take this out, so do it. I don't care. But I take offense to being ramrodded through. This is the process legally how things go. When the executive presented this budget in front of this county board and it was referred to this committee, that is the process. So I take offense to you saying that this is being ramrodded. And if you do have a problem with it, hey, make a motion to get rid of it. I'm neutral on this either way. I can see your point. I can see their. So I want to make that clear for the record that my concern was that we did this legally. And if Corporation Council can speak to that, is that correct? We had discussions on this?
We have, yes.
Okay. So if anybody else had any questions, they can talk to Corporation Council. Thank you.
So I think I've said enough on these items. What I'd ask for would be a motion to recommend that the Finance Committee include these in their budget resolution.
I'm going to make a motion to table these three items until after the budget process is completed and the next regularly scheduled Public Works meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. So, on the motion to table these items, you the governor?
Nay.
Supervisor Gessie?
Nay.
No.
Nay.
Nay.
Yeah.
Nay.
Yes.
Okay, that motion fails. So, could I have a motion and then we can go watch the Packers?
I'll make a motion to recommend sending these three items to the Finance Committee for the 2020 budget.
Moved and seconded to send these and recommending they be included in the budget resolution. Chief of Governance?
Aye.
Supervisor Gessie?
Aye.
Chair's aye.
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 No.
So, anything else, Ray?
I think that's enough, isn't it?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much, everyone.
And thank you, everyone.
You guys, that was very smooth.
Thank you.
Thank you.